Your continued interest in your prayers tonight. The subject that's been on my mind this week for our study tonight is kindness. Kindness. And I want to limit it to what we find in tonight, in the mostly limit it to what you find in the New Testament. Obviously, the Old Testament has a lot to say about it as well, and if it's still with me next week, maybe we'll talk about the Old Testament next week. But the subject of kindness, as we began to study, and as I began to dig into this, I find, like a lot of other words, the original word. Now, when we talk about going to the original language, we're not in any way suggesting that the English is not sufficient. Okay? But it's interesting sometimes that you get a slant on a word because it means something a little different, that word. And that same Greek word may be translated into several English words. And we've got that tonight. Kindness. Sometimes it's not always translated kindness, even though the meaning is still there. And so, you know, in our English language, we've got a number of words that sort of mean the same thing, you know. And so we ourselves might use, for a thought, we might use a different word. But this kindness, Krestotis, there's two forms I want to notice of that. One is the noun form, and one is the predicate adjective, if you remember your English. Krestos is that word. We're going to notice both of them, but I want to notice the verses that we find in the scriptures giving us this subject of the kindness that's presented. Obviously, the kindness of God is greater than all. But there's kindness that we need to show to one another. There's even kindness that we're to show to those that are without. And we're even to pray for our enemies. So this is a big subject. And obviously, we're not going to be able to cover all of it tonight, but just think about this subject of kindness. Isn't there a great need for kindness in the world today? Certainly there is. So, we're not talking about the philosophy of the world where, you know, like you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. A lot of that that goes on appears to be kindness, but there's really an ulterior motive, isn't there? So that amounts to selfishness. Perhaps it might even be hypocrisy. Okay? So we're not talking about that. All right? Even though we have some of that in the scriptures, I don't intend to get into that. But that type of kindness that's shown in the world, in Caesar's kingdom, there's no godliness about that. Okay, and so it's just rooted in selfishness. But godly kindness is from God. And we have it from the love that he gives us when he gives us his spirit. And it's godly kindness is manifested in the same way that God gives to us. Graciously, freely, and lovingly. Kindness. Oh, there's so much of a need for that today. And so when you, I use a word study book by Spyros Zodiatis. He's a Greek scholar, and he's got a lexicon and all that. And I'll use his definitions. This word, these two words, the noun and the predicate adjective, the meaning for that, the result of that anyway, is the grace, the result of the grace which pervades the whole nature. The whole nature pervades the whole nature. You know, like yeast, a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. It's pervasive. It just spreads throughout all of it, okay? So what we're talking about here in this kindness is the result of the grace which pervades the whole nature. Now listen, mellowing all which would have been harsh and austere. Austere being hard, okay, difficult dealing with someone like that. So let me read that again. A result of the grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing all which would have been harsh and austere. To me, that brings up something from the Old Testament. I'll go get this one from the Old Testament. I won't get a lot of them, but this one. Remember in Ezekiel 11 and in Ezekiel 36, one, he speaks of what he will do, and one, he's speaking to his people. But he said, I'll take out that hard and stony heart. And what's he going to do? He's going to mellow it. He's going to give them a heart of flesh. Now, we're not talking about the flesh that leads us into sin. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just something that has feeling, something that is sensible. You know, the contrast to that is a hard and stony heart. There's no feeling there. There's no life there. But he's going to give us something that has feeling, something that has life. All right, in that process is a mellowing. There's a change from hard and stony to something that's got life and feeling and sensitivity. And so kindness, when God communicates to us by giving us his spirit, by giving us life, spiritual life, and gives us his love, there's a change that takes place. And it's a pervasive change. You know, I've heard of there's some that hold to what's termed as the hollow log doctrine, that the spirit can enter in but no effect on the log. You know, like a rabbit running in a log and no effect. No, that regeneration is pervasive. I wish it would take out the old nature. But it doesn't. We've got both natures to contend with when we are regenerated. But there's a change there. There's a newness. There's life. There's a new heart that God gives us in regeneration. And interesting enough, one of the fruit of the Spirit is this word that we're talking about, or these two words that we're talking about here. But it's not labeled as kindness. It's labeled as gentleness. So you see how we got a lot of words that are close in the English language. But that idea, that same original word, is there in that gentleness. All right? So the best way to really define is to let Scripture define Scripture. This idea. All right? So, but also, let me, in my study, there was some I guess it was Zodiates. He had the usage of the word to give you the idea of what happens in this mellowing. Like, he says, if it's used like wine, then it's when it's mellowed with age. Okay, so you see the transformation, not the process, but what it ends up being, mellowed instead of what it would be in the beginning. If you're talking about Christ's yoke, remember Matthew 11? He said, my yoke is what?
Easy.
That's the word. Easy. In that word in English, easy, is conveying this idea of the kindness. In other words, a heavy and burdensome yoke has been changed to something that's easy. He's got all the strength.
Right.
We yoke up with him. He said, take my yoke. Here's something that in our experience, if we follow what he tells us there, take his yoke upon us, that's when it becomes easy because of his kindness that we're experiencing. Also, when Jesus told his disciples that they should be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, this idea of this kindness is the harmlessness of the dove. It has nothing to do with the wisdom of the serpent, but the harmlessness of the dove. So those are some thoughts that help you to understand the concept of this kind of kindness that the scriptures present to us. All right, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. As a matter of fact, we have both the noun and the predicate adjective form of this in that one verse. So Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Paul is actually rebuking some because, let's just read verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Okay? So, those that would be judgmental of others when they themselves are guilty of the same thing, Paul is rebuking them here. And then he goes on to say in verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? This idea of kindness here is presented as the word goodness, God's goodness. Isn't it kind? When we think about how good God is, doesn't it mellow us? All right? So Paul's using, the translators use the word goodness here when he says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? In other words, somebody that's judging a person and yet they're guilty of it themselves? That's not kindness. That's not how the Lord would have us to be. That kind of judgmental attitude, it's harmful. Right, so he says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? And look where this is leading us now. The goodness of God should lead us to a very different attitude than being judgmental of somebody when you're guilty of it yourself. All right, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? When we're not thinking about the goodness of God, when we're not humble in his, you know, God looks to the one that's of a contrite spirit and trembleth at his word. That's who God looks to, not one that's lifted up in pride in himself and judgmental of others. That the goodness of God, the kindness of God, should lead us to realize, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, oh wretched man that I am. Not that I was, I still am. And so this kindness that we're trying to speak to you about tonight here in Romans chapter 2 is portrayed to us in terms of his goodness. The goodness, his goodness. Over in chapter 3, verse 12, Romans, still, I'm still, got three references here in Romans, 3, verse 12. Paul is speaking of those where he says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Okay? And then verse 12, it says, they're all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good. That's the word that word that also elsewhere is translated kindness. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So think about it now. This person that is incapable, and he says, without the Spirit of God, all of these are incapable of doing the kind of good that God has expressed to us in his kindness. All right, so without the grace of God, without the Spirit of God in us, we can't do that. We can't have this kind of goodness and kindness in our hearts. We might do something the world looks at as kindness, but what we're talking about tonight is what God works in us. Because of his grace, by his Spirit, and by his power, he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And part of the way that that manifests itself is in this, the fruit of the Spirit. That word gentleness is this idea of kindness. Right? But those that are not born of the Spirit of God, they cannot do that. It's just not in them to come out of them. All right? So that was 3:12. Go all the way to Romans 11, 22. Romans 11, 22. He's telling them, be not high-minded, but fear. He tells them what happened to the Jews could happen to the Gentiles. All right, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness, that's the word, same word that elsewhere is translated as kindness. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. Stop and think about that. But toward thee, goodness. God's been so good to us. During our prayer request, Brother Thomas brought that up. God is good. And he's been so good. He continues to be good to us every day. But when we get lifted up in ourselves, we tend to forget that. We don't think about that as much. And so Paul warns them again, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt also be cut off. Now, the scriptures teach eternal security. So this has to be a timely text, right? This has to be a response, a bad response on our part that would cause us to be shut out of something. Okay? And so, but if we continue in his goodness, when we are mindful of his goodness, when we are mindful of how that we need to walk humbly in this life, we don't have to worry about that. We'll be staying close to the Lord and enjoying fellowship with the Lord each and every day. All right? So that's just another way that the thought of this kindness is presented to us using the word goodness. All right? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 6. Yes, this is pretty much a word study tonight, isn't it? Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. Back in verse 4, Paul is speaking about, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And then he gives us a long list of things that show when we're doing what we should as a minister of God, these are the kinds of things that we'll be manifesting. All right? And so he says, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God. So then verse 6, I'll drop down through the list. Verse 6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness. That is one of the things that we as ministers of the gospel need to remember. God would have us to be kind. Jesus was kind. Okay? And so as we think about kindness, it's just one of the ways that Paul said it was one of those things that identified him as one that was approved of God in his ministry. Okay? So, I was studying that and I was thinking, when we're going through an ordination, I don't ever remember anybody going to this list of things for qualifications to the ministry, but it might be good to look at that list, wouldn't it? If those are the kind of activities that would be approved of God for his ministers to follow, then we need to consider that as well. And part of that is kindness. Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Gentleness is in there. That's where this word that elsewhere is kindness, here it appears as gentleness. Kindness. Fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to bear that fruit without the Spirit. That's just plain as day, isn't it? I mean, that's just reasoning that we're blessed to understand, but sometimes it's hard. Well, there's some people that just don't understand that. Without the Spirit of God, you cannot bear fruit of it. Okay? It's impossible. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is presenting to us our position in Christ. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay. Verse 7, that in the ages to come. Now here's one of the more sweeter verses that speaks of God's kindness to us. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I read that and I think, how much kindness is that? Oh my goodness. We can't measure that. And not only can we not fathom just how magnificent that is, he's not finished. He's continuing to show his kindness to us. And so as we think about that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And as we walk in them, we should be thanking him every day and praising his holy name for the kindness that he has shown to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace that he has given unto us. I have a hard time stopping when I read Ephesians 2 and 8. I just feel like I need to get on down to verse 10. We're his workmanship. He's what has given us his, he gave us his Spirit. He works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And as he said in Philippians, persuaded that he'll, what he hath begun, I'm confident that what he has begun, what's that verse? Being confident, that's what I'm missing. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll continue to show his kindness through his Son. Wow. I tell you, that's a lot of kindness that God shows to us every day. Every day we live and looking forward to eternity, we'll still be praising his holy name for all that he's done for us and saving us from our sins. Colossians 3:12. Here's one of the verses where we're being exhorted for what God is working in us, we're to work out. Okay? Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now we're not, it's not a put on, right? We're to do what we need to do to manifest it. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you in his kindness. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. That's a powerful argument, isn't it? How much has he forgiven you? We can't even come up with a list of all that he's forgiven us. And yet, we'll have all eternity to praise him for the forgiveness that we have through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. All right? So as we think about here again, the kindness of God. And then, of course, Titus 3 and 4. Titus 3 and 4. He speaks of what we were before God had mercy upon us. Then he says in verse 4, Titus 3, verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God, in his kindness, the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Not anything we did. We could go to other verses, but it says it right here. Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Kindness God has shown to us through his Son. So over and over, we hear this theme throughout the scriptures, the kindness of God. We shouldn't for one moment get lifted up in ourselves thinking we're anything, but to remember, like Paul said, oh wretched man that I am, and thank God for his mercy and grace that he's shown us in his kindness toward us. Now those scriptures I've gone through so far were the noun forms, the references we had. So let's look at some of these others. I mentioned at least one of them already. Matthew 11:30. That's where Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest your soul. All right? verse 30, he says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Isn't it wonderful that God would show such kindness that he tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me? That we have the opportunity, because we're his child, because he's given us his Spirit, given us eternal life, given us ears to hear the gospel, given us a heart of flesh that we can, we can receive the things of God. You know, John chapter 8, he speaks of those that couldn't hear him because they had his word had no place in them. Well, he's given us a place for his word in our hearts. And so he invites us, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so the burdens we carry in this life, when we come to him and in that way which he tells us that we should, we come to him, he can lighten. Now, you know, that's not saying that you won't ever have any problems and you won't ever have any burden. That's not saying that. But we can go to him and we can find help and rest and peace and joy in him. And that'll strengthen us for whatever we have to face as we go through life. All right, so that word kindness, or that the thought of kindness, is presented here as the word easy. My yoke is easy. Okay? It's not burdensome. Let's look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. It's interesting, Luke chapter 5, verse 39, you find another occurrence of that, the thought of kindness, but it's not so much kindness as it is the mellowing, the thought of mellowing that I just covered with you earlier. Luke 5, 39, no man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. The word better there is used to convey this idea, okay? Next chapter, Luke chapter 6. Part of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 35, but love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Now that doesn't mean that if you obey this, then you're going to become one of the elect of God. What it means is you're going to manifest it. Okay, what he's worked in you, you're going to be able to work it out. Okay? And you're going to manifest to others so that they'll see that you are one of the children of God. So he says, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind. And there's our word right there. He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now that's interesting. We're always accustomed to thinking that he blesses his people, but it says here he's even kind. Well, that's because he is kind, and he's always kind. All right? That doesn't mean he doesn't judge. It doesn't mean that he won't exercise his wrath at times, but he is kind. It's like John says, he is love. Okay? He can't change. There's no changeableness in God as far as, you know, who he is and what he is. He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. In Matthew's account, it talks about he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Didn't say alike, it just says just and the unjust. Okay? But when I think about he's kind And even to this, and like I think I said in part of my opening remarks, if we're going to be like him, if we're going to follow his teachings, then we also, there's a measure of kindness that we owe to those without. Doesn't mean you have to be accepting, doesn't mean you have to be condoning, but in our deportment toward those that are without, we need to manifest a kindness in general. Okay? It even makes me scratch my head, and it's hard not to go back to the Old Testament, but it's hard even when Ahab, you remember Ahab, doesn't the scripture say that he did more evil than any other in the sight of the Lord? When he humbled himself after that matter of Naboth's vineyard, when he humbled himself, God allowed the judgment to not happen right away. To some extent, I see some kindness there. And like I said, it kind of, I have to scratch my head sometimes because, you know, we have a tendency to say, well, you know, there's no evidence there that there's any love of God in that heart. But that's God's business. In his dying breath, he could have been born of the Spirit. I don't know. But God is kind. And he shows his kindness in many ways. First Corinthians 15. You know the subject of that chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. I'll just get the verse. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good. There's our word. Good manners. Evil communications. You wouldn't expect to find kindness in that. You wouldn't expect to find the gentleness. And when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about sincere, true kindness in the fashion that God has shown to us and the kind that we are to receive of him and show to others. You're not going to find that in the evil communications. And it has the effect of corrupting good manners. In other words, the good manners come from the Spirit of God, the love of God in our heart. And when God has blessed us with that, then we want to do that which is good. But if you start hanging around with those of evil communications, which the word carries the idea of evil companions, guess what's going to happen? It's going to rub off. It will. You know, and so we need to learn that lesson early in life and try to remember that be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Something along these lines. Some of you may have known Elder J.W. Hartley from Georgia. I guess I'll remember him most for singing with a high tenor voice. And it was loud, but it was a really good voice. Good singing. But he would tell a story sometimes about how that he would go off to a meeting on Saturday and his wife would wash his shirts, his white shirts, and they were so clean. She'd iron them and they looked so good. And when he'd come home from the meeting, sometimes his children would be out playing in a mud puddle. And they'd run with their arms wide open, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And they'd hug him in that white, clean white shirt. And he said, you know, there was never one time that my cleanliness rubbed off on them. It was the dirt that always washed off or rubbed off on the cleanliness. Yeah. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We have to be careful. Realize God has given us something good. From his kindness, he's given us something to us so that we can emulate that kindness toward others. But we can get distracted. We can get led astray. Evil communications corrupt those good manners that God's worked in us. Ephesians chapter 4. Some of these verses are some of the very, well, I wouldn't say the most, but there's so much sweetness in some of these thoughts. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's gone through a long list of exhortations of what we should do. And if we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, okay? But he comes down to verse, let's skip 31 and 32. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'd call that evil communication, wouldn't you? Okay. And then he says, verse 32, and be ye kind. Now we're talking about kindness. Be ye kind one to another. And he really enlarges upon that by saying tenderhearted. The kindness that God has shown to us brought forgiveness. And so I think it follows that the kindness that we show to others, we should be willing to forgive. If we're going to be like him. Some folks, when you start talking about forgiveness, some folks say, wait a minute, preacher, now you done started meddling. Forgiveness is a tremendous subject with the Lord. When Jesus gave us the model prayer and he told us to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, the only thing that he commented on after The only thing he commented about regarding the model prayer after he gave it, one thing. If you're not willing to forgive others, your Father will not forgive you. I think that's important. If that's the only, when he gave us such a powerful prayer, a model prayer, something that we should pray after this manner, whether we say the actual words or not, we should pray after that manner. And he has all wisdom, so he gave us a model that is perfect. You're not going to improve on it. And then the only thing he comments about on that prayer is our need to be forgiving. I think that's important. I think it's highly important. All right. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. That's how kind you should be. Even as God, and here's why. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's big. That's heavy. That's weighty. Even as God in his kindness, for Christ's sake, through Christ, has forgiven you. I've read that often times and thought to myself, there can never be a reason why I shouldn't be forgiving. You know, there's things that happen to people and they'll never accept it. But when we think of all that God has forgiven us through his Son, that should take every one of us off our high horse and humble us before him and cause us to be thankful for his kindness, thankful for his goodness. Praise him and adore how good he is in his kindness toward us. First Peter chapter 2. We're almost done. Again, we've got the idea of laying aside bad things, okay, evil communications. He says, wherefore, 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay, so we can grow in the word. Verse 3. Here's where we find our word. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Gracious. With that element of kindness. That the Lord is gracious. I love to think about how gracious the Lord is. He gave us his only begotten Son. That we have forgiveness of sins because God in his kindness through his grace sent his Son to save us from our sins. So if so be, in other words, if you haven't tasted that the Lord is gracious, could be because you haven't received his Spirit. Okay, but if so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Just hear yet another English word translated from that original idea of his kindness. So, I've gone through a lot of verses tonight. We've seen five or six different English words that were translated from this idea of kindness, this mellowing that happens to us when we're born of the Spirit, that change that has taken place in us. So what do we take away from this? It's more than just a study of those words and such. Remembering God's kindness to us. Remembering his goodness, remembering his gentleness, remembering other ways that it's expressed. Paul, writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he talks about old wives' fables. And exercise thus, I left out something, but and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And I'm not saying this is the word kindness. I'm just giving you a thought here. We're to be exercising ourselves rather unto godliness. So when we think about the kindness that God has shown to us, we think about how that we are to be like him, and we, because of Christ's sake, we're to be forgiving and we're to be kind to others. Then we need to be exercising ourselves in this kindness. And I'm looking at a people tonight that I know you're well versed in this. And I'm looking at a people that has a great deal of kindness that you're showing in your life. But inasmuch as Paul would say to like the brethren at Thessalonica that he knew that they loved one another, but he exhorted them to love even more. And so we need to remember this kindness. You know, there's also the idea hear me carefully when I say this, but we need to be kind toward God. And what I mean by that is if we get lifted up in our pride, or we get lifted up in ourselves, or if we get to thinking too much of ourselves, you know, Romans 12 tells us to let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to. When we do that, we're not giving God the glory. We're not praising him and walking humbly before him like we should, and that's offensive to God. Okay? Hebrews 10:29. Just real quickly here. Talking about those that sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. And he goes on to say, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of Man and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified." So he's talking to God's people. "An unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." That's not kindness toward God. That's somebody that's gotten caught up in the flesh and has turned aside. So we need to be mindful. Be mindful that even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us, we need to be forgiving toward others. Otherwise, we grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about that. All right? So we need to be kind. We exercise kindness toward God. We need to exercise kindness toward each other. Okay? Galatians 6:10, he talks about not getting the first word. Galatians 6:10. I'm sorry. That's not what I'm looking for. Maybe I'm in the right chapter. I'm in Ephesians. Galatians 6. You probably found it quicker than I did. All right. "As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Doing good, being kind. And I mentioned those that are without. In Matthew's account of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:45, he speaks about how that we're to love our enemies. And he goes on to say, "that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven." And I believe that's where he says, "he sendeth the rain upon the just, the unjust. And maketh his son," I'm sorry, "that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." And so this kindness, may God help us to be exercising it more. I know we do. But it's every time we do, we're giving glory to him. We're honoring his word. We're honoring his name. And we, as his children, are honoring him. May God help us to think more about his kindness toward us and help us to be more kind toward others. May God bless you is our prayer.